And we are so honored that you've chosen to celebrate the greatest event in the history of the world, the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I just think about it, the day that death was defeated. I think about the day that we were declared to be not guilty in the sight of God. I think about the day that released us from the slavery of sin. And we've got so much to say. Anybody excited this morning? That's good. Hey, everything that we do at Gateway is all about Jesus, and we're starting a brand new four-week series today called I Am, and what we're doing is looking at four of the seven different I Am statements in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says very clearly, I am, and it gives us a clear picture of who Jesus is in his own words. And today I want to look at the I Am statement that best fits this weekend, and it comes from John chapter 11, verse 25. In fact, it's going to be on the screens behind me. Let's all say it together. John chapter 11, verse 25, it says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Now, just to be clear, resurrection is when somebody dies and they come back to... There we go. Okay, good. Just to make sure we're all on the same page. There was a couple of buddies that were discussing death, and one of the guys in the group said, hey, what do you want people to say about you at your funeral? And one of the guys said, you know, I'd love for people to say he was a great humanitarian. He really cared about his community. The other guy spoke up. He said, I'd love for my wife and kids to stand up and say what a great husband I was, what a great spouse I was, what a great example I left for my kids to follow. And the third guy spoke up and said, you know, I'd love to have an open casket funeral. And at my funeral, I'd love for people to say, look, he's moving! Resurrection. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And when he said this, a lot of people don't realize that Jesus made this statement in the context of a much larger story about a man named Lazarus who was dead, but he didn't stay dead. And I want to look at this story and look at the different responses that the characters in the story had to this crisis, and how, because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, how that changes everything. We're going to start at the beginning of the story in John chapter 11, verse 1, and it says this. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick, and we're going to find out that he wasn't just sick, but he was about to die. It says, he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 3 says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, and they said, Lord, the one that you love is sick. Now, this was bad news in the middle of a good life, and if I could just stop there for a moment and acknowledge the fact that although many of us are here, we're celebrating great things. This is a great season of life. There are a lot of people that are going through a difficult season of life. They're hurting. They've heard something like the one that you love is sick, or the job that you had is gone, or the dream that you pursued is at a dead end. And in the middle of the story, Jesus says something that's amazing. In verse 4, he says, when he heard this news, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, he says, it's for, there's two words that are so powerful. It's for, everybody say it out loud, it's for God's glory. No, it's for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. In other words, this thing that you would never want to happen in your life, this crisis that you would never want to experience in your life, is going to end up for God's glory. Now, the word glory is one of those words that people use a lot, but so very rarely actually understand what it means. It comes from the Greek word doxa, and doxa means glory or majesty or fame or amazement or awe. And so catch this. Jesus says this thing that is happening is going to end up for God's glory. In other words, this crisis that you're going through, this situation that you're encountering is something so amazing that when people look at the situation that you went through and how God intervened in the midst of this situation, all they'll be able to do is step back and say, God is amazing. I can't believe it at what he did in your life. Now, I want to come back to that verse, but let me just basically give you a quick summary of verses 5 through 14. Here's a basic timeline. It goes like this. Lazarus is sick. The sisters send word to Jesus saying, Jesus, come and help. Lazarus is sick. Jesus doesn't do anything, and Lazarus dies. So that's the basic timeline of where we're at right now. And Jesus says to his disciples 2 days later, he says, let's go back to Judea. In other words, he doesn't go back to Judea when he could do something, but now that he can't do anything, at least with appearance, he goes back. And he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Now, he wasn't saying Lazarus was tired and taking a nap. What he's saying is Lazarus is dead, and I'm going to go raise him from the dead. And what I want to do is look at three different characters in this story and see how they responded to this crisis. I want to look at Thomas, I want to look at Martha, and I want to look at Martha's sister named Mary. And we're going to see three different ways that they were dealing with this crisis. And maybe for some of us, or at some point in our life, you'll be able to relate to one of these people in the crisis that you face in your life. Verse 16 says, "Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go that we may die with him.'" Now, if you're taking notes, Thomas's response, if you're taking notes, is he had the right attitude, but he had the wrong conclusion. He had the right attitude, and I love this about Thomas. He was loyal to Jesus. He was saying, "Man, where you go, I go. I'm with you to the very end. No matter where you go, I'm going to follow you." He was incredibly loyal. Great response. It was just the wrong conclusion. Jesus, if you go there to this place where people are already threatening to kill you, if you go there, you're going to be killed. Now, Thomas did what a lot of us do when we encounter a crisis or a difficulty in our life, is we assess the crisis, we analyze the crisis. What's my response going to be? How am I going to get through this? What am I going to say? How am I going to react? We assess the crisis, we come to a conclusion about the crisis, but because we're so focused on the crisis and not on what God is doing in the midst of the crisis, we come to the wrong conclusion so oftentimes. Here's how this sometimes plays out in our life. We'll say things like, "You know, God, I know that you're good, but I can't keep on going in this marriage like it is. Or God, I know that I can trust you, but I can't be generous like you're calling me to be generous. Or God, I know that you're always faithful, but I can't move forward in faith." Why? Because we're so focused on the crisis that we reach the wrong conclusion. Now, Thomas came to the wrong conclusion because for Thomas, he still hadn't caught on to who Jesus was. Thomas didn't realize that not only did God have a plan, but he didn't realize that God was also in control of all of this. And because he couldn't see this, he came to the wrong conclusion. Now, I'm curious on this Easter weekend, how many of you would be honest enough to say that you've had situations or season in your life that have been so consuming that that's all that you can focus on in life? Anybody ever have a situation like that? Everybody that I know at some point has had a crisis, and it's easy to lose sight of what God is doing in the midst of the crisis and then come to the wrong conclusion. So Thomas had the right response, just the wrong conclusion. Maybe you're less like Thomas. Maybe you're more like Mary, though. Verse 20 said this, "When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet Jesus." But what did Mary do? But Mary stayed at home. Now realize this is the same Mary that just a couple days later had sent word for Jesus to come because she believed that Jesus could do something about it. But now it's too late. The situation has gone from bad to worse. And so Mary's response, if you're taking notes, was the wrong conclusion and the wrong attitude. Wrong conclusion, wrong attitude. That's where the discouragement is so overwhelming. That's where you just don't see anything good that could possibly come from the situation. That's where you can't seem to get a break in life. And we see with Mary with the kind of grief where she can't even get up. She's stuck in the house. It's like, why even bother? I mean, he's already dead. There's nothing that you could do about this now. If she was today, she might say something like, "You know, it is what it is. You know, there's nothing I can do about it, nothing that you can do about it. It is what it is." And maybe for some of us this morning, honestly, that's where you're at today. You may be thinking, "I can't change anything about this," or "I may always feel alone," or "I may always battle and deal with this depression," or "I'm always going to be stuck in this dead-end job with no alternatives. I'm never going to have the marriage that I thought that I would have." And so maybe you just feel stuck. Maybe you're dealing with discouragement, and like Mary, your response is, "Why even bother?" You may be smiling on the outside because it's Easter and you're looking good, but on the inside, you're battling discouragement. Maybe you're like Mary or Thomas. Maybe you're more like Martha, though. If you're taking notes, this was her response. She had the right conclusion, just the wrong timing. Right conclusion, wrong timing. Verse 17, we'll pick it up. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how many days? Just shout it out. For 4 days. Now, why does that matter? Why does that detail matter? Well, think about it. In that day and age, there was no refrigeration system. It was a hot climate. And so once somebody would die, their body would begin to decay right away. And so in her mind, Lazarus wasn't just mostly dead. Any Princess Bride fans, this guy was all the way dead. He was all the way dead. He was so dead that later on in the story, Martha tried to describe the smell if they rolled the tomb away. And the King James man, God bless the King James translator, she said, it says that he stinketh. Like that's a holy stink. In verse 21, she said, Lord, Martha said, listen to this, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You feel that? Jesus, if you would have come when I had asked you to come, we wouldn't be in the same situation. But you waited too long. Why didn't you come when I asked you to come, when you could have done something about it? Because I asked you, I prayed about it, and you didn't do anything. You didn't answer. And some of us can relate to that. You're waiting on some specific answer to prayer. You're encountering this situation or this crisis, or you've got a loved one that's going off the rails or something, and you're praying, and it seems like God's not doing anything about it. For some of us, we've been praying for a loved one to experience the goodness of God. And it's like the harder we pray, the less God acts on our behalf. And we're like, God, what are you doing in the midst of this? I know a lot of people that are actually praying and believing that God would actually heal themselves or somebody that they love, because we believe that we serve a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's like the more we pray and the more we plead with God, he's just not doing it. For some of us, it's our finances, or it's some situation in our families. And if that's you today, I hope that this will speak to you, and you'll never forget this. If you're taking notes, write this in. That God's delays are not God's denials. God's delays are not God's denials. That just because God hasn't done something yet doesn't mean that God is not still in charge. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have a plan in the midst of the crisis, that God will work things out so that everybody sees his glory, his awesome power. They stand back and say, wow, God, look what you've done. Now, I want you to look at this, because the beginning of the story, we ran through the timeline. You've got Lazarus, who's dead. You've got Thomas, he's ready to die. You've got Mary, who's depressed. You've got Martha, who's angry. And then there's a shift in the story. And I want you to listen to what Martha said in verse 22. She's talking to Jesus, if you had only been here, Jesus. And then verse 22. But I know that even now. Would you say that phrase, even now? Even now. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Even though the situation seems hopeless, even though I feel discouraged, even though I'm experiencing doubt, even though I don't know what you're doing in the midst of all of this, God, I know that even now you'll give me whatever you ask. Some of you right now, you need to have an even now moment with God, where you feel like right now you're at the very beginning of the story, and you need to have an even now moment where your faith is ignited and comes alive, and where you believe that even now all things are still possible with God. Even now, some of us need to have an even now moment. Or even now, when you're discouraged, the presence of God can come into your life and build your faith. Some of us, we need to have an even now moment where we feel all alone and like there's nobody there with us, where the Holy Spirit can come and give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Some of us need to have an even now moment where God can reach into our family and bring healing and forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation. Some of us need to have an even now moment where everything looks impossible, and yet we serve a God that says all things are possible. Even now, you may be far from God, but in a moment, God can change absolutely everything. Even now, where there's something dead and we feel like something is dying inside, the resurrecting power of Jesus can bring it back to life. And I want you to see what happens in the story. Verse 23, Jesus looks at Martha and he says this, Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In other words, Martha's got good theology. She's just missing the point. And Jesus says in verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, it doesn't say I'm able to resurrect or it will happen at some point. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. I am the resurrection and the life. If you're taking notes, write this in. That the resurrection is not just an event. The resurrection is a person. Resurrection is not just an event. It's a person. It's a person. It's not just what he does. It's who he is. He's the source of all resurrecting life. See, dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. And so the resurrection, Jesus looks at the tomb where Lazarus stinketh, and he says to the disciples, verse 39, he says, take away the stone. And in verse 43, Jesus called out in a loud voice. Why a loud voice? Maybe it's because dead people don't hear very well. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. On this Easter weekend, some of you need this kind of resurrecting power in your life. Maybe you feel dead on the inside. Maybe some of us have lost faith. Maybe of us are feel inundated with shame or with discouragement. Maybe some of us have doubts. Many of us feel trapped in a tomb like we don't have any strength to roll away the stone and free ourselves. And on this Easter morning, I want to remind you that Jesus rolled away the stone. And the same voice that called to Lazarus to come out is calling you saying, come out, shake that stuff off. It's time to have a new day. See, today's the day where you experience the goodness of God. And this is what's so great about good about God is it's not about how good you've been, but it's based off of how good God is. And you can be set free today, and this is the great thing about God. It's not about how good you've been, but it's because that's what God wants to do in your life. And you can feel his presence, not because you deserve it, but because he relentlessly loves you. That the resurrection is not just what he does, the resurrection is who he is. And so I want to tell you this morning that God in his love and in his mercy did something for us that we were incapable of doing for ourselves. Not because we're good, but because he's good. He became one of us, God in the flesh. He lived a perfect life and then was brutally tortured and placed up on a cross for the atonement of our sins. And as he was dying, he looked up into heaven and said, Father, I did what you sent me to do. It's finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And if you remember the story, the earth shook, the earth went dark, and everybody who had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah fell into darkness and despair. They didn't realize that it was Friday, but Sunday was coming. They were stuck at the beginning of the story, but even now, God would be glorified through his son's death as Jesus was raised back to life. And some of you right now, I'm telling you, you're stuck at the beginning of the story and you can't tell and you don't know where you're at the end of the story, but I'm telling you, you're at the beginning of the story. And with one touch from God, you can experience an even now moment. And I'm not here telling you, listen, I'm not here telling you that everything's going to be perfect and nobody ever dies and everybody gets healed and your hair is never going to fall out and you'll fit back into that swimming suit one day and you'll win the lot. I'm not telling you all of that stuff. But what I'm telling you is this. Is that every crisis, in every moment of despair, every heartache, and every moment of pain, that God can use that in such a way that all people can do is step back and say, isn't God amazing? Amen. And so Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is the gospel, the good news, that Jesus did for us what we couldn't possibly do for ourselves. That though we didn't deserve it, though we were walking away from God and maybe not wanting anything to do with God, Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, and that while we were still sinners, rebelling, walking away, wanting nothing to, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so today we celebrate the fact that the tomb is empty, he is risen, and the resurrection changes everything. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die.